Morning's message is the heart of worship. And I want to thank all of y'all once again for being here. I'm excited. There's some faces I haven't seen in a while that are here. Just want to let you know from the congregation that we love you. And we're just so happy that you're here this morning with us. The heart of worship. I put, to me, the heart of worship represents the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. I pray that through this morning's message, a great emphasis, a great importance will fall upon your heart on how crucial and important the presence of the Lord is, not only to your life, but those, but also for those that are here for the very first time. There's things going on in their life. They're troubled. They're struggling. And somebody invited them this morning to be here to help them. The heart of worship. I'm going to share some verses, real powerful, well-known portions of Scripture for those that know the Word, but there's some that might just be hearing the Word for the very first time today, so I want to be careful to be sensitive. I'm going to read slowly. And if you don't have your Bibles, amen, it's going to be on the screens, amen. It's going to be on the screen. So as we go to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, we're going to find out how the presence of the Lord came upon the life of Saul. Amen. How the presence of the Lord came upon the life of Saul. Amen. We're also going to read how the presence of the Lord was lifted and departed from the life of Saul. And how the presence of the Lord would fall upon the life of David. Amen. And through these scriptures, we're going to chop it up and find out the importance of the presence of the Lord. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible reads, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, 'Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance?'" Amen. Here, Samuel anoints the head of Saul. Amen. The next verse is 1 Samuel 10:10. The Bible reads, "When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power." Amen. So first he anointed him, and here the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We put everything to the side here this morning, Lord, and we give our full attention, our full focus unto you and your word this day, Lord, knowing that it is important for our lives and important for those, Lord, that are struggling and still beyond the walls of the church, that we receive your instructions this day, Lord. It's my desire and your desire, it's our desire that we not only receive your instructions, but that we apply your instructions so that we may be able to be those that are able to experience your presence. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here Saul had great success. The presence of the Lord was upon his life. Power of the Lord came upon his life. If you read a little further up, they had a battle, and the Lord would confirm that he was with them. But I believe a lot of people get off to a very good start in the things of the Lord. We catch on fire. And sometimes through the course of time and through the course of certain storms that we go through, amen, the enemy, through his lies, amen, can turn the flame of the Lord that was once burning strong within our lives. And here within the life of Saul, everything got off to a great start. He was anointed by Samuel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. There was a proof at the battlefield that the Lord was with him, that his presence was with him. But then Saul would be disobedient. How many of us at one time were moving in the power of God, in the Spirit of the Lord, in the power of the Lord? And through certain things that took place, certain acts of disobedience, that no longer were we walking in the Spirit of the Lord, no longer were we walking in power, in the favor of the Lord, because of acts of disobedience. Amen? But I thank the Lord here this morning for His grace and mercy that His Word says are fresh each and every morning. That every one of us, if we've messed up before, have the opportunity through the grace that came upon our lives through the cross, through the precious blood of Jesus, that if you find yourself in that state here this morning, I want to let you know that you can get back up. You can get back in fire in the things of the Lord. That you can fan the flame of the Lord back within your life. Not so much because of who we are, because of what we know, but because of who He is. And Him being sovereign, being all-knowing. He loves us that much. His love is unconditional. So here Saul would get off to a real powerful start. Anointed by Samuel, empowered by the Lord, but then he would fall in disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 7b through verse 14. B simply represents, it's not the first verse there of the first sentence, but the second one, amen? And the Bible reads, Saul remained at Gilgal. This is where he messed up, amen? And all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. That was an instruction for him to follow, amen? By Samuel, the prophet. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. And just as he had finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. And Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, sometimes we think incorrectly, amen? I believe sometimes we can be in the Lord and still think incorrectly. Because I believe at this point, he was walking with the Lord. He was wanting to lift up these offerings because he's seen a battle coming forth. But Samuel told him to wait. And here, Saul would start thinking. And he answers, and I have, so where are we at? And that the, now, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. So he tells him, I thought, amen. I have not sought the Lord's favor, so felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. Samuel tells him back, you acted foolishly. Tells me that sometimes we can act foolishly even when we're with the Lord. Has anybody ever done something dumb in the Lord? Samuel straight up told him, you acted foolishly. He didn't sugarcoat it. Samuel said, you have not kept the command the Lord God gave you. It wasn't me that gave you the command. This command came from the Lord. If you had, he would establish your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. Disobedience allows us to not endure, people. And if you want to underline your Bible, you can say, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. And then 1 Samuel 16:14 says, but now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. It was no longer 1 Samuel 10:1, 1 Samuel 10:10 taking place. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Amen. I'm going to speak now of the presence of the Lord falling upon the life of David. The presence of the Lord falling upon the life of David. And to confirm through Scripture, we go to 1 Samuel 16:13. I want you listening real carefully with these verses. Then I'm going to start chopping it up a little bit. Amen. But we need to get these verses in our heart to get the understanding. Amen. 1 Samuel 16:13 says, so Samuel took the horn of oil, just like he did for Saul. Amen. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, if you're going to underline your Bible, you can underline this part. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power, just like he did the life of Saul. Tells us that we can be operating in power one day and be disobedient the very next day. Tells us that the Lord can anoint one man, remove his anointing off one man, and place his anointing off on another man, and put his anointing on another man. First Samuel 16:23. The Bible reads, whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Remember, at this point now, Saul is not in the power of the Lord. Amen. He's being tormented. Amen. From the Spirit of the Lord, he's being tormented. And the Bible goes on to read, when the Spirit would come on him to torment him, that David would play the harp and play. Scripture goes on to say, then relief would come to Saul, even though he didn't have the anointing upon his life no more. Even though the Spirit of the Lord had departed from his life, through David that had now the Spirit of the Lord upon his life, as he would play the harp, Saul, amen, all of a sudden would find relief. The Bible says he would go on to feel better, and that even that the evil spirit would leave him. When David would play the harp, the presence of the Lord would fall even on the life of Saul that was in the act of disobedience, that was not empowered at this time. Amen? Here within the beginning of the verse of 16, verse 23, the word says, whenever. whenever tells us that the evil spirit, when it came upon Saul, that it wasn't a one-time act. It happened over, I believe, David would play the harp. Saul would feel all better. Remember, at this time, he's the king. He's the king. And David would play the harp. He would feel much better. The evil spirit would leave. And then David would leave the room. And with just a matter of time, the evil spirit would come back upon the life of Saul. How many of you have felt good in the church, or how many of you feel good right now? Amen. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you didn't feel too good walking in this morning? But the spirit in the presence of the Lord is present here this morning. Whether you're obedient this morning or disobedient, nevertheless, the presence of the Lord is here this morning. When David would play the harp, three things would happen. We need to know when we're in praise and worship, these three things take place. Amen? Relief would come to Saul, to anybody that's here this day. All of a sudden, you walk in one way, and you start feeling better. You start saying, man, I needed that, man. Some of you felt like breaking this morning. Some of you were breaking this morning. And you might even be in the act of disobedience. But yet the presence of the Lord was falling upon your life. The Bible says that even he would not just find relief and feel better, but that evil spirit would lift from his life. Have you ever, after church, heard somebody say, man, God, I feel good. Man, that was a good service, man. I feel as if something was lifted from my life. I feel so much better. Pastor, I'm so grateful that I came today. And I'm talking about the first-time person, the new convert that has come to church for the very first time. I put here that David was just not any harp player. I believe at that time they could have went and found numerous of harp players. David was not the only harp player. But these are a good few reasons they chose David to be the harp player before the king Saul. And that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. He was just not any harp player. And the Bible reads that one of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. But look at his credentials. He is a brave man. I mean, he's beyond brave. And a warrior. He speaks well. And he is a fine-looking man. But most importantly, and the Lord is with him. And the Lord is with him. Can you imagine poor Saul? He wasn't disobedient to Samuel, the Bible says. Samuel told him, you've been disobedient to the command of the Lord. And then he brings in anointed David to play the harp. That's being obedient to the Lord. Don't it hurt sometimes when somebody has to tell you the truth? Somebody tells you the truth and it gets you mad. Because they're telling you the truth. And you don't want to hear it. But the Bible says it is the truth that sets the captive free. It's almost like saying, I want to remain in captivity. I want to remain in the bondage I'm in. Nah, brother, but you need to hear the truth right now. Sister, you need to hear the truth. And sometimes the truth don't feel good, don't sound good. It's almost like a parent giving baby medicine to a baby. They don't want it because it tastes bad. It tastes bad, but it makes them well. And sometimes we don't like to be told, you can't do that. You need to remain accountable, brother. What you're doing is not right before the Lord. I put a side note here. David was just not any harp player. And I believe at times it's hard for men to worship the Lord, to be broken, to raise their hands in surrender, and to adore the Lord, to love the Lord, amen, to be intimate to the Lord. What are you talking about, Willis? What do you mean being intimate with? He's a man. Don't you know he's a man, Pastor? But for a woman, it's real easy for a woman to be broken and raise her hands and say, oh, Jesus. But here the credentials, the character of David was that he was brave, that he was a warrior. He was no sissy, but he was a worshiper of worshipers. He was one after God's own heart. And if you're after somebody's heart, you got to be in love with that person. And it better be Jesus that you're trying to figure out how to get in love with. He was not a wuss. He wasn't a sissy. The Bible says that he killed the lion, that he killed the bear. And as a young lad, he even took on Goliath. That the whole army of Israel was afraid of. He took on a giant that was clowning the whole army of Israel, the army of God. So you can, man, you can be a worshiper and still be strong, still be a warrior. It's a good thing. I would like to put next to that one, worshipers impress, influence. Too many times as men, we're trying to influence in the wrong way. Trying to get into a relationship influencing in the wrong way. As I start breaking down the scriptures, a real powerful point that the Lord gave me was that it was not the heart that brought the presence of God, but the heart of David connected to the harp. Amen? It wasn't so much the harp, amen, that brought the presence down of the Lord upon the life of Saul. Amen? But it was the heart. It was the heart of David that was connected to the harp that would draw the presence of the Lord within that room as he would play the harp. The presence of the Lord was so strong that it didn't only bring relief to Saul, it didn't only make him feel better, but it allowed that evil spirit to be removed. That's what the presence of the Lord is able to do. Amen? I put here, the greatest instrument is not a great voice, great talent, or a musical instrument. The greatest instrument is called our heart. The greatest instrument of worship is our heart. It's not a keyboard. It's not a drum set. Amen? It's not even a harp. It wasn't even the very one that David used. And a lot of times we get caught up in a motif. Amen. Yamaha, Kenwood. And we're looking for these quality instruments, which is nothing is wrong, and we have them. But the true instrument of worship that brings the presence of the Lord down in the act of praise and worship is our hearts. And our hearts are either in obedience to the things of the Lord or disobedience. And the good news of the gospel here this morning is that you can even be in disobedience and the presence of the Lord can still fall upon your life, bring relief, make you feel better, and even remove any evil spirit that needs to be removed this day that you're not capable of doing, even if your name is King Saul. Even if you got one of the greatest titles in the church, there's just some things we can't do alone. There's just some things that we need the body of Christ, the head of Christ, which is Jesus. There's just some things we can't do alone. And it does not make us weak. It makes us smart to connect to the body of Christ. Remember, you can be connected to the body of Christ. Your homeboy, the homegirl may say that, oh, you brother, you're weak, man. You've gone weak on us. You got to go to church. No, they're weak. Anybody can stay in the street corner, hustling a little bit of dope, slinging a little bit of dope, smoking a little bit of dope, remaining going to college and getting smarter and smarter or getting a better job and looking for a better pay. You know, anybody can do that. You can search for that the rest of your life if you want. But to come to the altar, to surrender to the Lord, to be obedient to His commands that will usually come against the way we do things, that is the greater man, the greater woman. That is the warrior. But it's going to call for change in your life. And not many in this day and age that we live in want to change. You're willing to come to church, but you don't want to change. You still want to do what you're doing because it feels good. It connects with you. It feels right. See, Saul, that's where he got into problems. He thought he was the king. He thought wrong. And he paid for it. Tormented by an evil spirit. The greatest instrument is not a great voice, a great talent, or a musical instrument. The greatest instrument is our heart. I want you to get this next one. The Lord gave it to me. Amen. The instrument of the heart, no one can hear it but the Lord. The instrument of the heart, nobody can hear it. Nobody knows how the instrument of the heart, our heart, is sounding. Is it in tune this Sunday morning? Or is it way out of tune? We got a guitar here, Miko? Huh? If you were to pluck the bass, could you tell? Do I got one of my acoustic guitars here? Nope. No acoustic guitars here? Would the bass sound nasty if it's not tuned up? Would you still be able to get like where it sounds really bad? Hook that up, please, real quick. A lot of us know about guitars and stuff, but a guitar is a beautiful instrument. We had an acoustic one you could really hear when it's supposed to go bring, something like that, right? But when it's not, it's just off tune just a little bit. Anybody that's not even that don't even play an instrument would say, man, that sounds horrible. Something's wrong with that guitar. No, it's a good guitar. It's just out of tune. Tell your neighbor, you're a good guitar. Tell your neighbor, you got a good heart. It's just out of tune. Miguel knows how to tune a guitar. I got a few guys know how to tune instruments, but nobody knows how to tune the heart. But God, getting some fresh stuff right now. Some of you think you sound real smooth when you're flirting with that girl, when you're flirting with that guy. But the Lord says, you're way out of tune. What harp player you been listening to lately? Are we in? Just give me a ring. Tune it up now. That's what the Lord's doing right now to somebody. Ding, 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 ding. It's the way you tune an instrument. That's what the Lord's doing right now. No, 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 no. Are you going to do it or not? He's telling you. That's his tuning fork right now. Give me another little noises, some more noises, Miguel. Okay, okay. Are you going to do it? Give me some more. What do you mean you're not going to do it? Give me some more. Do you want to be in tune before her or him or me? Are you worried about what you sound like before people? Because you should be worried about how you sound before me. Now just give me... You're done, Miguel. I needed an acoustic guitar, but I just got the revelation. If I had it before, I would have brought an acoustic guitar and I would have done it myself. I would have first strummed it, tuned, and then untuned it because I wouldn't have been able to tune it because I don't know how to do that. No one can hear the instrument called our hearts. So that's why sometimes we may be deceived by what we hear is not always fine-tuned. Amen? Just because it looks good and smells good don't mean it's tuned up. Even though it looks tuned up, man, don't mean it's tuned up. The heart of worship, the instrument of worship that the Lord wants to hear is our heart. No one else can hear it. Even though there's over 100 people here this morning, you can't hear the person sitting next to you's heart. The best you can get if they run around the church, you can hear it thump, but you ain't going to hear it speak. You ain't going to know, even if you can feel the thumping, even if you take the blood pressure, you can know the pulse rate and everything of the heart. You're still not going to know if it's tuned or not. You'll just find out if you got high blood pressure or not. That's the best you can get out of putting a gadget to check if you got high blood pressure or not. You can have no high blood pressure and still have a heart out of tune. It's real quiet right now. God's listening. See, at the end of the day, that man, that woman, that job, that money ain't going to be able to help your heart because he or she or it can't hear your heart. He or she or it don't know what your heart needs. But too many times we're trying to please man, woman, our boss, and our hearts are out of tune unto the boss of bosses. It's our heart. No one can hear the heart but God. Scripture to confirm that God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, 7b. You go down to the second one. It says, the Lord does not look at the thing man looks at the things man looks at. Let's find out what man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. The next scripture is in Acts 13, 22. And the Bible reads, after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. How did God know that David had a heart after his own heart? God is able to look into the heart of man, into the heart of woman. How was God able to say, now David's heart, that's a match with my heart. That's a man that's doing my will. Even though he's taking care of the sheep in the field, even though he killed the bear and he killed the lion, and he's kind of a violent guy, he's a man after my own heart. His heart is in tune with my heart. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Wow. Can the Lord say that about your life? Can I say that about my life? That we're willing to do anything and everything that the Lord wants us to do. See, that's a tuned heart. That's a heart that is right before the Lord. That's the type of hearts that we should strive to have. Where Jesus, where the Lord, where man, woman would be able to testify on our concern of our heart. I put here, it's really important as leadership that our lives are living right before the Lord. It's going to get a little better here now, amen? Laid a little foundation. Well, we found out the result of an ungodly heart, of a disobedient heart of Saul, amen? Not only was he no longer relieved, no longer was he feeling good, he also had an evil spirit on him that would come upon him, amen? That's the result of disobedience. But I'm going to go on to now is the results of a godly hearts in the church. The result of godly hearts in the church. I'm going to prove here this morning that everybody don't have to be perfect in the church. That nobody has to be perfect in the church. Where God's word even says that we all fall short. But there's a few here this morning that I can testify that have godly hearts. Even though they're missing it maybe here or there, I know the flock here this morning. Where I can testify concerning a man or a woman or a youth member and says they have a godly heart, they're in the process, and they're striving to have the heart of God. They're willing to make whatever changes, as hard as the changes are, to live right before the Lord. Results of godly hearts in the church. But here, many enter our churches full of evil spirits and problems. Don't raise your hands if this is taking place in your life right now. Some might leave saying, I didn't know it was that bad. Well, everybody likes to look at the church, you know, how did they do it, or something like that. And these are all the people, and this is the team. The church is a spiritual hospital. There's some sick folks up in here right now. There's some untuned hearts up in here right now. But we need to know that the physician of physicians, Jesus, is also here right now. And when the presence of the Lord here is, I don't care what the problem may be, what the name of the spirit may be, when the presence of the Lord falls and comes, those evil spirits, those problems gotta go. They can't be where the presence of the Lord is. The truth is this morning that there's men, women, and youth right now in this church listening to my voice that have problems. Some of you got evil spirits in you. And some of you are saying, that's not me, Lord. And I say, what's your name? Legion. It's not me. I promise. And you got it all figured out that it's not you. As I broke it down yesterday, this was me. Coming out of prison, walking into the church, I came in with so many problems, man. I think I got saved at 31, 32, amen. That many years of problems, amen. I came in with spears. I came in in bondage. I was, even though I had some nice Levi's, they were really nice because I'd been wearing for years these, you know, jumpsuits from the prison and, you know, prison blues and stuff. So now I had actual Levi's. They give you some ugly pants in there. Amen? And then we try to hook them up. We put a little cuff in the bottom, and you melt some plastic, and then you put an iron into it, and you pay the guys at the where they press all the clothes and stuff, where you can have a little cuff on your ugly-looking blue jeans, amen? And we try to make them designer jeans behind prison walls. So I had my nice little Levi's on. I had a little Calvin Klein belt, amen, and I had some Dockers shoes on, and I was looking good, man, compared to what I was looking the day before walking the yard. But just because I look good don't mean that I was good within. Within my heart, I was still in those prison blues. I was still shackled up. That's what God was seeing. But the girls were seeing, man, he's fine. He's good looking. I don't know if he's brave. I don't know if he can play the harp. But I wouldn't mind being with him. And I was in accordance, in one accord with them. One accord. You can't be in one accord that way, amen? And I would walk in with problems, with spirits on me, on parole. 98% of the parole I was on goes back to the prison system. The normal number is 75% go back to the system. I was in a high-risk parole where 98% go back. But I walked in looking smooth, amen. I was shaved, my hair was perfect, and I walked in, you know, acting cool, and I sat in the last row, amen. Didn't want to go noticed, amen. I was like, what am I doing here? Because inside, I knew who I was. See, you may look one way on the outside, but inside, does it match what you portray yourself to be? So I came in to the church, dugging it with a pack of smokes in my pocket, amen. I was fresh out of prison. There was nothing wrong with that. What do you mean I can't smoke? It's legal. My parole officer says I can smoke, I'm going to smoke. I don't care what you Christians say. If it's legal with my parole officer, I'm doing it. It was a place where I came into the church where the music would start, amen. The praise would start, the worship would start, and from being all posted up like this, acting like a wannabe gang member. I was never a gang member, but I came out looking like one, and you had to stand like one and all that stuff, all those years in prison. And I was in the back row, and before you know, I was like, man, what the heck is that? I was feeling uneasy. I looked good on the outside, but something was taking place on the inside. And at the real beginning, it wasn't a good feeling, but as I said, I can take this, man. I can take it. And I was going through changes in the background. I was like, how come the next person ain't acting like me? How come they're worshiping the Lord? Am I the only one feeling this? And I was like, what's going on in here? I knew something was taking place, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And as I stood there, amen, just posted up saying, what did I get myself into? Right? It felt like I was being set up some way or another, right? And then I started thinking, as Saul thought, I started thinking, my parole officer, isn't that part of my parole that I got to come to church? I don't have to be here. All of a sudden, I wanted to have a smoke, and I just walked in. I just finished one. And I stayed in the praise, and all of a sudden, man, something just kept on messing with me. Something kept on, and before you know it, man, I started lifting my hands, and before you know it, I started praising the Lord, started getting a little rock going, and before you know it, I said, I'm not crying. That is far enough. I will not cry. Just come out of the prison system. These people don't even know me. I will not cry. She would not, that fine one on the third row would not think it cool if I'm crying. This was my mentality. And I would continue to praise him. Before I knew it, I was broken. I was broken in the presence of the Lord. Even though I walked in with spirits within my life, I walked in with problems. I walked in without a clue. All I knew that I was on parole and I couldn't do dope. That's all I knew. That I was going to be getting tested every other day. That's all I knew. That's all I had to do was stay clean. But the Lord had another plan for my life. I was able to walk into the church and feel the presence of the Lord. Even though I didn't know how to praise Him yet, even though I didn't know how to worship yet, even though I didn't know how to pray yet, even though I didn't have no understanding of His Word, I would feel the full impact of who Jesus was through praise and worship, amen, through His presence. I was able to experience the presence of Jesus. Back then, I called it a good feeling. It was like getting high. It was like, whoa, man. By the time I got to worship, I was like almost nodding out, man. It was like I was getting loaded. I didn't know it was the presence of the Lord. I said, this is good stuff, man. I need some more of this one right here, man. I wonder if this is legal. And my parole officer, I wonder if this comes out of my test when I go do a UA, I'm going to probably test dirty, man. Started getting paranoid in the presence of the Lord. It was so powerful. I knew it was Jesus. I just didn't know it was the presence of Jesus. In Matthew 18:20, too many times we think everybody's have it going on in the church for God to move. Not so. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. Too many times we're critiquing, we're judging in the church when the judge of judges is God and God alone. I want to let you know that we can have just two righteous people here this morning out of 120, whatever is here, two righteous people, and the presence of God will fall upon this church. Too many times we think everybody's to be holier than thou to the way you see things. But remember, the way Saul thought got him in disobedience. The Spirit of the Lord departed from his life because he thought he was doing the right thing, being the king. He was going to go and give the offerings, what was supposed to be done, but he was supposed to wait on Samuel. And too many times we don't want to be led. We just want to lead. We don't want to follow. Matthew 18:20 is a very familiar scripture. It says, where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. When the Lord says, there am I with them, that means there is my presence with them. This is a spiritual hospital. People got problems in here right now. That's the truth. Many other pastors wouldn't claim that about their flock, but they lie. You guys got problems. I got problems. Tell your neighbor, man, you got problems. Pastor Charlie said, you got problems. You want to take it a step further? Tell your neighbor, Jesus says you got problems. For the Lord says, in this world, you will have trial and tribulation and problems. I'm going to have problems in there, amen? You're going to have problems in this world. We all got problems, some more than others, but we all fall short. But the power of the presence and of the word of the Lord says that just two got to be right here this morning. Just two got to be right here this morning. You can be not right and get right after this morning because two were right before the Lord. I'm going to prove it to you right now. Many into the church with a Saul condition, full of problems, evil spirits. Evil spirits deceive. They come as angels of light. Amen? As an angel of light. Evil spirits allow you to think that you're okay and everybody else is all messed up. That don't mean it's the Spirit of the Lord. It's an angel of light. It's a counterfeit. Many enter the church with a Saul condition. But the good news this morning, they can still experience the presence of God with David's in the church. Even though Saul was in disobedience unto the Lord, not before man, but unto the Lord, and even though an evil spirit was upon his life, as David would play the harp, he would start feeling better, his problems would leave, even the evil spirit would leave. Because David's heart was right before the Lord. David's heart was right before the Lord. And numerous of times have I spoken with people after the service, and they say how good they feel, and they didn't come in shaking my hand saying, "Pastor, I feel great today." It's after the service is over, they leave saying, "Man, the best thing I'd done in a long time was come to church. I just want to let you know, Pastor, that was a good word, man. The praise and worship was, man, I have hope today, amen. I walked in with Noah. I just want to let you know, thank you, Pastor. I feel the presence of the Lord upon my life. I have hope now. I got direction now. I know what I got to do." And I know in the back of my mind, the presence of the Lord came down. Through a few that were right within the church. Sometimes we can get so spiritual that we think that everybody's got to be right before the Lord. There's no such place. No such place. No such person. And that was me. I would experience the presence of God when I would walk in the church. And then when I would go the next time, I would say, "Man, we'll see if it happens again." And now, and man, boom, it would happen again. The Lord would fall all on me. And then I got to a place where, but as soon as I left the church doors, bam, I came a cigarette, man. I'm checking out the girls saying, "Yeah, amen." I got out of the atmosphere of the presence of the Lord, and as soon as I walked out, you know, I've gotten so many phone calls whether it's the husband or the wife. "Pastor, it was such a powerful service, but as soon as we got into our car, we started fighting and cussing and all." I was like, "Man, back up a little bit, man. We just got out of church." "That's my point exactly," the person said. "We just got out of church, and she's cussing at me, right? She wants to hit me, Pastor. She wants to hit me. We just told you what a great, powerful service. We loved it." But then I get a 2 minute after out the door in the car call. Say, "Man, we're about to kill each other right now. Pastor, man, come out here. I don't want to go back to prison, man. I'll go to prison, Pastor. You better ask somebody. I ain't putting up with this. How dare her? We just came out of church." That was me in a nutshell. I would come out, be taking the cigarette, get in the car. By the first, pulling out of the parking lot, I'm already checking them all out. I'm at the music on, cranking and all this stuff, thinking I was this and that. I'm back at the prison yard, back within shackles, even though I had my nice Levi's, my little Docker belt and Docker shoes and all that stuff, a little polo shirt. I thought I was this and that. Does that happen to you? God is not looking at the outer appearance, but the heart. Amen? And we leave church and we become that person again. So I would come to church again. The praise and worship would come. The presence of the Lord would fall. And there was gang members in there. Man, they would have their sunglasses in church. I said, "How rude." And I was judging them and everything, man. But then you would see big old fat tears coming down the chin. I said, my bad, Lord. My bad, my bad, my bad. Don't want to get that gang member mad anyhow. I don't want to become his next problem." And I would come back to church in the presence of the Lord to come. I would make the altar call. And I would ask the Lord at the altar, "Lord, I want this feeling, whatever it is, I want it all the time. I want it all the time." It was the presence of the Lord. And I thank the Lord that 18, 19, whatever years I've been saved now, that he answered that prayer. No matter where I go now, I can leave the church door and I'm still in church. I can get in my car and I'm still in church. I can go to work. I can go to even the rehab home and still be in church. You'll get that one later. Amen? No, they're doing good. They're doing good. That was a big prayer he answered. For his presence to go with me wherever I went during the day, to feel Jesus all the time, not just on Sunday morning, was my prayer at the altar. I would be weeping. I would have a pounds of boogers, snot, whatever you want to call them. Man, I would go like this. I didn't want nobody to see them, man. And I would just stay all broken in the Lord, all broken. Asking him, Lord, I want this everywhere I go. I want this feeling not just when I come to church, not just when I hear the songs and the songs finish and I leave, and then all them evil spirits just come right back on me again. The presence of the Lord is important. It's important. It's important that men and women grow to a place to have a right heart, a tuned heart before the Lord. Today, I thank the Lord that I'm not just the recipient of His presence, but I thank the Lord now purposely. You got to get this in your spirit. You got to get this in your spirit. I'm up here and I'm worshiping the Lord, and I'm up here and I says, Lord, I know there's some new people in here right now. I know there's some here with problems. I know some have evil spirits. Some are on parole. Some are about to get divorced right now, Lord. But as I worship you, as I worship you, as David worship you, and as you your presence fall, because I'm right before you, it's going to fall upon that new brother, that new sister, that person that got problems, that person that's got evil spirits. That presence that comes upon my life is going to fall upon their life. And they're going to start feeling good. They're going to be maybe a little bit convicted, but there's going to be some direction, some hope within their life. So it's very important as a worship team. But we are all part of the worship team here this morning. All of us are that, back to the last row, that we learn to have correct hearts before the Lord. Don't think that you can bring the presence of the Lord into your house if you're still going with her and him and doing stuff on the side, things that God does not honor. Now, there's His grace and mercy. Who are we to question Him? He can do however He wants to, but the rule of thumb is, if you're doing all that stuff, the chances are very slim that you're going to have the presence of the Lord in your house. I put here, I praise the Lord 18 years ago. He answered my prayer. I put here, from a song to a lifestyle of worship, He took me from a song, from a song, from a music in the church. Worship is not the songs we sing. It's a very small part of it. The way you live your life is worship before the Lord. And there's other, in Romans 12, there's other scriptures to confirm that, but I'm not giving that Bible study, amen? Is your heart in tune this morning with what you have learned this morning? But the great news of the gospel, the great news of the presence of the Lord is the power of the Lord, that you can be in disobedience right now. David got in disobedience. Even you can be in obedience and fall one day in disobedience. He fell with Bathsheba. He got back right. He got back right with the Lord because he knew how to worship the Lord. He knew the difference of obedience and disobedience. He knew the difference of having the Spirit of the Lord, and he did not want to end up like Saul, tormented. Our praise and worship unto the Lord makes a difference in the lives of the new people coming to church. It makes a difference. We got to stop looking at the music that we sing before as just music and a couple of songs. Praise is what we do. Praise is when we come into church, we praise the Lord. Even if you're going through it, you praise the Lord simply for what He has already done. That's praise. That's off the words of Miles Monroe, amen? Praise is something that we initiate. We come in the church, if you're not feeling that, we come and we praise the Lord. I need to dance and praise the Lord. Another heavy revelation that just came to me in Salinas, California, where this great presence of the Lord was coming down upon me. We had a keyboard that was a very cheap keyboard. Amen? We had one keyboard player, two or three singers that really couldn't sing too good. Amen? Sound like the Bad News Bears. A sound system that wasn't a good sound system. It was a handy-down of a handy-down sound system. But yet, as we would praise and worship the Lord, the presence of the Lord would fall. People would be broken. It wasn't the harp, but the heart of the people that were bringing in the presence of the Lord. It's not about the instruments. It's about the hearts. And I remember just through just a beginner club worship team, the presence of God would fall in that church. Sometimes we get caught up, too caught up in the sound. Exodus 33, 14 through 16. The presence of the Lord of God is key, people. And the Bible reads, the Lord replied, this is when he was speaking to Moses. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you. It's not just my presence will be with you at church. But my presence will go with you. How many want to take the presence of the Lord into their car this day? How many want to take it to the restaurant? Amen. How many want to take the presence of the Lord back to your house? Back to your children? Back to work on Monday? The presence of the Lord. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. See, apart from the presence of the Lord, you can't make it, people. I don't care what kind of a job you got. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me? This is Moses telling God, man. Hey, man, you got to go with me one more. I ain't going. How are they going to know you're with me, man? If they figure out that you ain't with me, that's 2 million people right there. I'm done. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What makes the difference? The presence of God. Not people. The presence of God. Not no harp. Not no instrument. The presence of God. Our hearts is what makes the difference here this morning. What else, Moses says, will distinguish? If you got a Bible, underline distinguish. What else would distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? A few ending points. What distinguishes that we belong to God? His presence. Instead of you saying, man, I've been in church for 10 years now. That don't distinguish that you carry the presence of the Lord. That just means you've been coming to church for 10 years. What distinguishes that we are worshiping in spirit and in truth? That everybody being, no, that a few that are spirit and truth. It's his presence. I put here all answers. How many need some answers right now? You're not sure what to do. You need some answers. All answers. How many need some Holy Ghost power right now? All power. Revelation. How many need some revelation? How many want to know what their calling is and what God has for your life? All callings, all vision are found in the presence of God. Just from a few Davids in the church, the presence of God falls, even to the disobedient, the troubled at heart, troubled in spirit. The presence of God will come upon you. If the worship team comes forward, please. That's good news here this morning. You can be all messed up, and just for a few there, the few Davids in the church, the presence of the Lord is going to fall upon your life. That's like going to the connection, having no money, he still gives you a 20. That's some good stuff. We serve the connection of connections. You don't have to have nothing here this morning. You can still get the presence of the Lord from a few Davids in the church. Correct hearts, correct living, not perfect. Preparations that allowed a worship song to turn into a lifestyle of worship in my life. I was there always for the hour of prayer. I participated in the praise and the worship with enthusiasm. There was a song that went something like this. This is old school stuff. It goes, higher, higher. And we would start here. We go, higher, 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 lift Jesus higher. And we'd, man, higher, higher. And we'd be getting all excited, man. I was out of prison, third, fourth service to the service, and I'm higher, 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 higher. The presence of the Lord was on me. And then the song would go like this, lower, lower. And the worship would go down, lower, lower. Hey, don't me. Lower, lower. Put Satan lower. And then we'd go, yeah, go lower still. So, lower, lower. But back then I could do it real easy, man. I was buffed, I was cut up, all that. Lower, lower, and I had my Levi's, I had my nice shoes. Lower, lower, put Satan lower, and then they would say it again. I was hoping to higher, lower, 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 lower. And then I was at the floor, lower, lower, put Satan lower. Yeah, I get into it, man. I got into it. And then I had my pack of smokes, and they were falling out. And lower, lower, put Satan lower. And the presence of the Lord would follow me. Where I was feeling lower, lower, or I was in the upper, upper, the presence of the Lord would fall upon my life because of a few righteous people in the church. We sang some dumb songs. Another one was, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one. And so are you, as we go, lifting our hand. And then we go, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one. And so are you, as we go, lifting our other hand. Father Abraham had many sons. Many, enthusiasm, many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one bunch of gang member drug addicts doing this stuff. And so were you. We did all kinds of stuff for the devil. As we, Father, as we go lifting our foot. And then we're, Father Abraham had many sons. And we're thinking, man, we're a bunch of ex-drug addicts. Okay, how'd he go? Father Abraham, many sons, and you are one. And so am I. As we go, lifting our hand, right hand, left hand, right foot. Father Abraham had many sons. We didn't have the answers up there. Father Abraham, many sons. And so am I. And so are you. As we go, lifting our right hand, left hand, right foot, left foot. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Oh my God, man. That changed my life. It got a hold of God. Now we got a soundboard with reverb. Makes you sound better than you are. They're good singers. They're good singers. Some got a little bit more reverb than others, but praise the Lord. We were doing the rehab, 25, 30 guys. Doing that, we would walk down the street, main street, doing that Father Abraham, all lined up. Guys with tattoos, big old beards. And there I was, Father Abraham. It was a humble, you want to be with us or not? This one really separates the boys from the men. If they can do this, I'm going up main street. They're in, they're VO. This music, these songs transformed my life. Because it was not how we sounded. It wasn't about the harp. It was about the heart that the Lord was concerned about. It was the heart. It was the heart. Yes, it's good to have beautiful little music in the background right now. It helps. But at the end of the day, it's not about the harp. It's about the condition of the heart. Is your heart tuned up this morning? Amen. We're going to allow Jesus this morning. I'm going to make an altar call. There's no football season, no basketball or nothing like that. And I'm not going to make you sing Father Abraham to see if you're down or not. Amen? But we're going to come up here and we're going to just say, Lord, tune my heart.